This is Law Bites, a podcast with Michael Geist.
And the fact is, despite best efforts to work through it, Parliament has been paralyzed for months after what has been the longest session of a minority parliament in Canadian history. That's why this morning I advised the Governor General that we need a new session of Parliament. She has granted this request, and the House will now be prorogued until March 24th.
Balances or a balance trade affect tariffs and your decisions?
Yeah, unbalance and balance and also deficits. Like with Canada, we lose $200 billion a year with Canada. That's because we allow them to make cars. We allow them to take lumber. We don't need their cars. We don't need their lumber. We don't need their food products because we make the same products right on the other side of the border. It's sort of crazy. So we've just allowed that, you know, bad management has allowed it over the last 4 years in particular to become very imbalanced.
Welcome back to the Law Bites podcast. A lot has happened over the past 6 weeks since the last Law Bites episode, which provided a year-end review. TikTok briefly went offline in the United States. Meta changed its content moderation policies in a major shift, seemingly designed to curry favor with Donald Trump. Amazon announced that it's laying off all of its Quebec-based employees. And Bell obtained an expansive court-blocking order covering copycat sites, to name just a few of the developments. Future episodes will dive into these issues, but for the moment, the biggest story for a podcast devoted to digital policy from a Canadian perspective is undoubtedly the government's decision to prorogue Parliament on January the 6th, followed 2 weeks later by the inauguration of Donald Trump. Those 2 weeks effectively mark the end of at least the past 5 years of Canadian digital policy. Having devoted multiple episodes to various bills and laws, the bills are dead due to prorogation, and many of the laws seem likely to die or at least in for some changes due to Donald Trump. So for the next 2 episodes, I'll take a closer look at just what happened and what might be on the way. This first episode will recount the end of an era in digital policy in Canada, and next week I'll look at what lies ahead. Let's start with the effect of prorogation. There were many bills that were at different stages in the parliamentary process. Privacy reform and AI regulation, which was wrapped into one. The online harms bill, cybersecurity, and online age verification requirements, among others. They are all dead. First, let's look at Bill C-27, which, as many listeners will know, dealt both with privacy reform and then added on AI regulation. Now, this particular bill dates back a long time, highlighting how the government never really seemed to prioritize, certainly privacy reform, nor really AI regulation. We could go back as far as the former ICE minister, Navdeep Bains, who introduced Canada's digital charter back in May 2019. It served as the basis for privacy reform. First in 2020 with the introduction of Bill C-11. That's a different Bill C-11 than the one many will know dealing with online streaming. And when that bill died due to an election call, along came Bill C-27, which was tabled in June of 2022. Despite years of work, multiple consultations, and dozens of hearings, that bill is now dead, having never even made it to the final vote in the House of Commons. The best it could do was the full set of hearings at the Standing Committee on Industry, and then a very long clause-by-clause review of the bill, which actually started back in the spring of 2024, didn't move at all in the fall, as seemingly nothing moved in the fall from a legislative perspective in the House of Commons, and now that bill is dead. Now, the privacy part of Bill C-27, which was an attempt after nearly 25 years to update Canadian privacy law, certainly raised some questions, and there were concerns from any number of stakeholders. But I think it's fair to say there was generally pretty broad agreement that Canada's need for privacy reform was, by this point in time, long overdue. European Union had actually given its seal of approval to Canadian privacy law. We met the so-called adequacy standard, with most believing that that came on the basis of an expectation that Canada's privacy reform would actually go ahead and pass. That didn't happen, and we are back to the start when it comes to privacy reform. We are also back to the start when it comes to AI regulation. Now, artificial intelligence regulation did not figure in the earlier versions of that bill. So, for example, Bill C-11, the first iteration of privacy reform, did not include elements of AI regulation. But in that period between when C-11 died, and the introduction of Bill C-27, we had the introduction of ChatGPT and the increasing focus on what AI regulation might or should look like, with the Europeans moving quickly ahead on that issue with their AI Act. Canada decided to mirror to a certain extent what was taking place in the EU with its own AI bill, AIDA, which was included as part of Bill C-27. I think it's fair to say that that element was more controversial, in part because it was at best half-baked. The initial elements of that bill were not well-developed. Most of the real issues were left to some future regulation, which certainly now won't come, at least in terms of the current structure. When the government was called out for the failure to really provide much meat on the bone, so to speak, when it came to its AI regulation plans, the minister, François-Philippe Champagne, appeared before the committee back in 2023 and said changes were on the way. At first, he declined to provide the actual text of those changes, though he gave some sense of what they might include, largely trying to mirror some of the things taking place in the European Union. When there was pressure to say that there was a need to see the actual text, the government provided that text. But the bill itself was still subject to a lot of debate, some people feeling it didn't go far enough, others feeling that it went too far, and I think most acknowledging that it really hadn't been the subject of a significant amount of consultation or study. The committee actually never even got to the issue of clause-by-clause review of the AI portion of the bill. It really just ended when it came to the privacy side. So we're not even sure exactly what reforms might have come, but I think it's pretty clear that there will be a reset button on this issue. And as we'll talk a little bit next week about what comes next, it seems that some of the changes that are taking place, especially in the United States around AI regulation, is going to, I think, create some real policy challenges when it comes to identifying a Canadian path that both addresses some concerns that are out there and a focus on the need for regulation, with at the same time, competitor markets, particularly the United States, moving towards more of a deregulated space when it comes to AI, and questions about how Canada could remain competitive given some of those changes. So that's Bill C-27. Also dead, and there are certainly many who may be happy to see that, is Bill C-63, the online harms bill. As many listeners will know, the government took a long time to bring forward its online harms bill. They initially conceived of the need to address several elements when it came to the internet, in particular, the liability and responsibility of large online platforms. There were the streaming issues, which started as C-10 and then became another bill, C-11. There was the news bill, Bill C-18. But I think most acknowledged that the most controversial was always bound to be online harms, given the very close correlation between that legislation and freedom of expression issues. So it took a long time to get there. Some of the early proposals were widely panned and criticized. The government went back and made some pretty significant changes, especially with respect to the liability or responsibility of the platforms. It seems to me the big mistake in Bill C-63, as listeners will know, was the decision to not just focus on the online platforms, but to include elements around criminal liability, around the Human Rights Code, which proved much more controversial, really a lightning rod for the speech implications of those provisions, which really bogged down the legislation. It didn't go anywhere. It became, I think, even more of a political liability than some in the government might have hoped. Toward the very end of the process, Justice Minister Arif Virani indicated he was open to splitting the bill, allowing the platform liability portions, the core of the Online Harms Act, to move ahead, while the other elements around the Criminal Code and Human Rights Act would be on a separate track and for all intents and purposes would not move forward at all. But with prorogation, that bill is now dead. Certainly some want to see a higher level of responsibility and liability for platforms on these issues, but it isn't going to move forward in the short term. And if we get a change in government, we're likely to see a somewhat different approach when it comes to this issue. There's a couple of other bills that are worth highlighting that have died as well. Bill C-26 is an odd one in the sense that it really did actually go through just about all the process, and a drafting error is by and large responsible for killing that bill. The bill was covered in several earlier episodes. Brendan McPhail came on to talk about it. Kate Robertson at one point came on to talk about it as well. So there were certainly some criticisms. It's a bill focused primarily on cybersecurity, but with some significant telecom and privacy related concerns. It passed in the House, and it would have passed in the Senate if not for a drafting error that was spotted very late in the process, the effect of which would have been to nullify a large portion of the bill. It really only required a numbering amendment. They need to change the numbers in the bill to ensure that that didn't happen. But the only way that could happen was to send the bill back to the House of Commons. And with prorogation, that bill is now dead, despite the fact that at least from a substantive perspective, it passed really both the House and the Senate. And it was just this technical fix that held up the bill and now also means that it goes to square one. Finally, there's Bill S-210, which was the subject of much debate on this podcast. It was roughly a year ago, for example, that the new season of Law Bites podcast started with a debate with Senator Julie Melville Deschênes, who was the sponsor of that bill. It also came very close to passing. The bill had passed in the Senate, which is where it started. That's why it's S-210, starting with an S rather than a C. And in the House, there was very little by way of review. It sort of just rocketed through the House of Commons committee with practically no witnesses at all, other than Senator Melville Deschênes, the privacy commissioner, as well as the department, but really no other experts. There were no changes made to the bill. It was simply headed to a final vote, having already passed in the House through first and second reading. Now, there was some amount of uncertainty as to whether or not it would ultimately pass. The government was actually against this bill. Conservatives had indicated they were for it. It wasn't clear necessarily where the Bloc or the NDP stood on the bill. So there was some uncertainty as to what would happen when it formally came forward for a final vote. But that too will not happen now. That bill has effectively been killed due to prorogation. So there's a lot there. Privacy, AI, cybersecurity, expression-related issues through online harms, and of course, age verification in Bill S-210. All of those are now done. And given the likelihood of a very short parliamentary session, assuming we get a new parliamentary session sometime starting in March, there simply will be no real time to bring forward either those original bills or variations of that. It will wait for an election and potentially a new government and definitely a new leader either way to determine the direction for those issues. So that's what died due to prorogation. But I think it's fair to say that 2 weeks later, the inauguration of Donald Trump really heralds some additional very significant changes. And in this respect, the focus is not on bills that were before the House, given that those have died, but rather actually legislation that has passed. But it is legislation that faces a real possibility of retaliation from the United States. U.S. companies were the target of this legislation and so are likely to be a target now of a Trump administration. This will include or does include the Online Streaming Act, the Online News Act, and the Digital Services Tax. Now, the government, the Liberal government, premised much of that on so-called making tech companies pay. They often described it as making web giants pay, but really it's a different distinction without a difference. And that paying would come either by way of increased taxes or through cross-industry subsidies designed to support Canadian cultural or news sectors. The U.S. administration under President Biden had already registered some concerns in this regard, particularly with respect to digital services taxes, but it didn't take long, literally hours, before President Trump began to serve notice that he's ready to take action, given that the vast majority of the costs coming out of this legislation would be borne by U.S. companies. Now, the most obvious target in this regard is the digital services tax, which frankly shouldn't surprise anyone. It was already, as I say, an issue for the U.S. administration. It was an issue for many of the larger U.S. companies because we are talking about a significant amount of money, and it is by and large U.S. companies who are the target. Now, Canada formally passed its digital services tax last year, and it is scheduled to take effect this summer of 2025, though it does so on a retroactive basis. And so those that are subject to a digital services tax, which is effectively a surtax on a range of digital related issues, on data, on some certain platform revenue. Now, the retroactivity means that payments go all the way back to 2022. And so we are talking about billions of dollars. Under President Biden, the U.S. had already filed for dispute resolution on the DST. So they'd already signaled that this was going to be a trade issue between the two countries. But one of President Trump's executive orders, coming out literally on the first day, calls for investigations of any foreign countries that have, and I'll quote, any tax rules in place or are likely to put tax rules in place that are extraterritorial or disproportionately affect American companies. It feels as if that order could have been written with a Canadian DST in mind. It surely qualifies. And so Canada's bet that the possibility of retaliation was a bluff now, I think, somewhat predictably looks like a bad one. And moreover, given the efforts of some of the major tech companies to curry favor with the U.S. administration, I mentioned off the top some of the changes at Meta, but all one needs to do is take a look at the inauguration of President Trump and see executives of Meta and Amazon and Apple, and of course, Elon Musk from Tesla, all quite literally right up front as part of that inauguration, to see that there has been a major shift that has taken place amongst the tech companies coming on side with the new Trump administration, and quite clearly doing so because they see it in their corporate interests. The DST has been one of their major sources of concern. That, combined with the order, suggests that if Canada continues to move ahead with this, this will be a major trade irritant and is very likely to face some form of retaliation. But I think the U.S. is unlikely to stop there. The mandated streaming payments under Bill C-11 have been characterized as a streaming tax by opponents and have also raised concerns amongst the USTR, the U.S. Trade Representative that represents the U.S. on trade-related issues. Obviously, the companies themselves have raised concerns. Members of Congress have raised issues as well. There have been no payments yet in Canada. Potential payments are currently frozen due to legal challenges. But I think it is reasonable to expect that there will be some pushback from the United States when it comes to what will be viewed as requiring U.S. companies to directly subsidize the creation of Canadian content, and in particular, the ineligibility of some of those same U.S. companies to benefit from some of the payments that they would be required to make is the sort of thing that one can well imagine the U.S. responding to. It seems to me it is also possible the new U.S. administration will also focus on the Online News Act, which throughout its process was framed, I think, correctly as a link tax. It's not formally a tax in the sense that the revenues from that law are not designed to go directly to the government, but the effect is by and large the same. And once again, it is U.S. companies that are the target, quite explicitly so. It was really only Meta and Google that were the direct targets, as listeners will know. The reality for Canada is that news links continue to be blocked on Meta platforms like Facebook and Instagram. We saw Mark Zuckerberg, in announcing some of the shift around content moderation, emphasize freedom of expression issues and arguing the company was going to make some changes in that regard. There's an obvious correlation between freedom of expression and blocked news links. And so one can well envision that that legislation is going to be framed in that way, with greater pushback from the United States. In the case of Google, of course, they've reached an agreement paying $100 million this year to be distributed out to various Canadian news outlets. And one can well expect, I think, the U.S. to push back on that as well, if not directly as part of the legislation, as part of a review of the USMCA. And so another one of the President Trump's executive orders talked about an America First trade policy, which includes a review of the USMCA. Canada, I think, anticipates now that we may see the review, which was scheduled to not start until 2026, be expedited. And one can imagine that these kinds of payments, now part of Canadian law, will feature prominently in some of the discussions and areas for renegotiation. So what comes next? Well, next week I'll take a closer look at where we may be headed and some of the challenges that will await whoever forms the next government in Canada. But suffice it to say, I think that Canada finds itself in an untenable position when it comes to digital policy. Years of tough talk on making those web giants pay, I think, is more likely now to give way to concessions in the face of even tougher talk from President Trump that could create economic threats to Canada that far surpass the potential benefits of what in many instances was, I think, largely ill-advised policies. In fact, as I note with respect to prorogation, even those issues that generally fall below the U.S. radar screen, they're also dead, victims of a combination of political disinterests in the context of Bill C-27, I think miscalculations about what was included in Bill C-63, or even just odd drafting mistakes in the case of Bill C-26. The risks associated with many of these policies were evident from the start. The government instead claimed that its approach would create a model that others would emulate. But today, I think we find ourselves in a space where little will remain of the digital policy agenda of the last few years, most of it either dead or likely to die. As I noted, we'll take a look next week at where the Canadian digital policy agenda may be headed. That's the Law Bites podcast for this week. If you have comments, suggestions, or other feedback, write to lawbites@pobox.com. That's LAWBYTES at pobox.com. Follow the podcast on Twitter at lawbitespod, or follow Michael Geist at mgeist. You can download the latest episodes from my website at michaelgeist.ca or subscribe at iTunes, Google, or Spotify. The Law Bites podcast is produced by Gerardo LeBron LeBoy. Music by the LeBoy brothers, Gerardo and Jose LeBron LeBoy. Credit information for clips featured in this podcast can be found in the show notes at michaelgeist.ca. I'm Michael Geist. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.